welcome to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, president of the Ohio Christian Alliance. Stay tuned for an analysis and conversation about the issues that matter most to you and your family. Here now with this week's edition of News in Focus is Chris Long.
Those are the sirens that have been sounding in Israel as rocket attacks from Hamas from Gaza have been raining down on southern Israel. This is Chris Long. You're listening to News in Focus, a broadcast of the Ohio Christian Alliance. And today we're going to feature Israel and what is going on in the attacks by Hamas on Israel in southern Israel. And right now we're going to go to a brief report that comes to us from Israeli Defense Force Lieutenant Colonel Jonathan Kanserkis, and he is reporting from the ground as there has been casualties with these rocket attacks. Let's go there right now.
Shalom, everyone. We are live in Ashkelon, a usually peaceful city in southern Israel, located approximately 9 miles from the Gaza Strip. The reason we are here is because the house behind me, as you can see, was struck by a rocket that was fired from the Gaza Strip late last night, 1 a.m. The people who live here were surprised at 1 o'clock in the morning by a rocket that impacted this very building. Unfortunately, one civilian was killed and two others were wounded quite seriously. And that is, of course, a tragic result. Now, how did this happen? This happened because Hamas, a terrorist organization that currently rules the Gaza Strip, together with other terrorist organizations from Gaza, have fired more than 400 rockets. Let that number sink in. 400 rockets fired from the Gaza Strip by terrorists against Israeli civilians. And so far we have been quite successful in intercepting those rockets. Out of the 400 rockets, we've been able to intercept at least 100 of them. This example is one of the few cases where Hamas's rockets actually landed inside Israel. You can see the amount of destruction here. If you look behind me, you can see that this three-story building sustained heavy damage. You can see the impact hole there, and you can see the top floor, the third floor. It's nothing left of it, totally blown out. Imagine that you're in your bed at 1 a.m., sleeping, obviously, and all of a sudden the alarm sounds, and you just have a few seconds to run for cover, and shortly thereafter, a rocket explodes in your building. Totally unimaginable. And Hamas has been doing this now. Over the last 24 hours, they have fired 400 rockets aimed at innocent Israeli civilians. Now, naturally, we, the IDF, the Israeli Defense Forces, very clearly said that we cannot tolerate this type of aggression aimed at Israeli civilians. And we have responded first and foremost by defending our civilians, by trying to minimize the threat that they're exposed to. We have our Iron Dome system, which has been very successful, has intercepted more than 100 rockets fired from Gaza. And in addition to that, we have also targeted Hamas terrorist organizations, infrastructure inside the Gaza Strip.
And that report comes to us from Lieutenant Colonel Jonathan Kanserkis of the Israeli Defense Forces. He is on the ground in Ashkelon. This is the town in southern Israel that has received damage and casualties due to the rocket attacks from Hamas coming out of Gaza. With me on the phone is our good friend Lyndon Allen. Pastor Lyndon Allen, of course, is with Christians United for Israel. And he is the Midwest director, and he's been traveling across the country. He was back here in Ohio in October for some celebrations to support the State of Israel. And we all encourage you to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for Israel. Pray for our brothers and sisters in Israel. Lyndon, your thoughts on all that's going on right now?
You know, first of all, Chris, thank you so much for this opportunity to talk about this most important issue. You said very poignantly, the Christians need to get involved. We need the voice of the church in this hour. We're going to need more than waving Hebrew flags, Israeli flags, more than singing Hebrew songs. We need Christians to take action, because when the Jews seek to defend themselves, it's not going to look good on the international stage. They're going to spin it to make it seem as if Israel is the aggressor. So when Israel launches rockets or does airstrikes to protect itself, they're going to be hitting targets that sadly have been used as human shields by Hamas. Let me ask you a question. When Israel launches a rocket or drops a bomb on a target that has munitions in it, but that target happens to be someone's house, is that a military target or a civilian target? It's a military target until the bomb hits. Once it hits, it's going to be spun. Well, this was a civilian target. Hamas has been notorious for hiding their rockets and weaponry in innocent places like hospitals, schools, homes. They're using people as human shields. And when that starts to happen, we need the voice of the Church of God, the Church of Messiah, to speak out against this wickedness. Here's our official position on the matter. We view these attacks as perpetrated by Hamas and other Palestinian terrorist groups. They're the clearest sign that the Palestinian leadership sees nothing less than the destruction of Israel, period. Regardless of party affiliation or political ideology, the leaders in Washington they'd have to explicitly condemn the Palestinian terrorism and stand steadfast with Israel and the Jewish people, because this is a dark hour, and we need the church to remind Washington to do this. So thank you for the opportunity to talk about it, Chris.
Absolutely, Pastor. And of course, you know, this is going on as we speak. 400 rockets already have been launched against Israel. Iron Dome, the anti-defense system, missile defense system, has taken out 100 of them. But unfortunately, there have been rockets that have gotten through the net, as it were, and the shield, and they have taken lives at this point, and there have been casualties.
Folks, well, we have a Palestinian person died. This is ironic, you know. They're trying to destroy Israel. They're trying to destroy Israel. This is from Hamas's own charter. Now, Hamas was started in 1987, and in 1988 they wrote their charter. Now they've tried to soften it, but it's a charter that clearly states the following. This is from their preamble of their charter: Israel will exist and will continue to exist until Islam obliterates it, just that it obliterated others before. That's from their charter. The Islamic Resistance Movement, this is from their Article 6, from their charter. The Islamic Resistance Movement is a distinguished Palestinian movement whose alliance is to Allah and whose way of life is Islam. It strives to raise the banner of Allah over every inch of Palestine, which we know is Israel. Now, what that means is their motto, from the river to the sea, Palestine be free, means they want the Jews in the water, and they want the Jews in the Mediterranean. This is not about we want a two-state solution. They are complicit in seeking the utter annihilation of the people of Israel. And the reason why they've said yes to this Egyptian ceasefire is because Israel was about to put them out of business, and they knew it.
And that's
so
right.
They agreed to the Egyptian brokered ceasefire, which we hope is holding. It's actually been now 460 rockets, and yes, 100 of them were diverted, and because, you know, Iron Dome works marvelously as an aerial defense system, but they let their other rockets fall in open areas. But as you said, a few got through the net, and ironically, one casualty with a Palestinian has happened in the West Bank and Sderot and Ashkelon. They're in rubble. They're in rubbles. But Israel is not the aggressor on this one, though some may say, because of the botched Israeli operation that happened in Gaza, why would Israel seek to even engage in an operation in Gaza? Because they know that Hamas wants to utterly annihilate them. So they're trying to preemptively strike against those who seek their utter annihilation.
One of the things that's terrible, Lyndon, is that the hatred that they foment against Israel and against Jewish people among their young people. I'm looking at the Israeli Defense Forces Facebook page, and there's a video of some young children in Palestine, Palestinian young children, and in which this is a teaching video, and it's fomenting hatred of these children towards Jewish people. This is unbelievable. Yeah. This is hard to fathom for people in America to understand the actual indoctrination that takes place among the youth of Palestinians and Hamas and Hezbollah, what they do in fomenting that hatred to the next generation. Your thoughts?
Article 15 from Hamas's charter. In the face of the Jews, usurpation. It is compulsory that the banner of jihad is raised. They wrote this down and have committed themselves to it, no differently than Hitler at the Wannsee Conference sat down and committed themselves to the final solution. We're dealing with the same spirit who wants the same banner of destruction of the Jews raised. Raise the banner of jihad. The Islamic world will come, this is from their charter again, Article 33. The Islamic world will come forward in response to the call of duty, loudly proclaiming hail to jihad, which means raising the banner of destruction. Jihad means struggle. They want to utterly fight and destroy Israel. Every inch of Palestine occupied by Islam, this means they're not interested in any quote-unquote two-state solution, which personally I don't particularly care. We already kind of have a two-state solution. If you look at Israel and Gaza trying to operate together, you see what we've resulted in the last 48 to 72 hours.
That's right.
Ridiculousness. Hamas means Israel's destruction, period. They know it, and Israel needs to defend themselves by themselves and they deserve the right to do so without the world stage saying, you shouldn't be doing that. Well, never forget, Israel only defends against provocation. It's called the Israeli Defense Force, not the Israeli Aggressive Force. They want to defend against provocation, and Hamas has provoked them.
We're talking with Lyndon Allen. He is the Midwest Director for the Christians United for Israel. And Allen, I was honored and privileged to go with you to Israel this last year in March. And what a wonderful experience it was as we traveled the land and walked where Jesus walked and saw the history, of course, of the Jewish people. And then, of course, to celebrate Shabbat in Jerusalem with a Jewish family. And what a wonderful experience that was. But we also took time to meet with some of the Israeli Defense Forces, these young people who serve to defend the State of Israel. And it was so great to be able to shake their hands and to see these young men and women. Your thoughts about that?
Without the Israeli Defense Force, I think Israel would be annihilated. You see, if Hamas would lay down their arms, there would be peace. If Hezbollah would lay down their arms, there would be peace. If Israel lays down their arms, there would be no Israel. They have to defend themselves, and these precious young people, as part of the compulsory military service in Israel, do such a fabulous job. They are resourceful, which is why Israel has become a resourceful nation. Make no mistake about this, Chris. Iran is behind what's happening. There are two clear agents of Iran in the Middle East, in bordering Israel. Hamas to the south, Hezbollah to the north. Of the two, which is the more expendable one? Hamas. They practice attacking Israel using Hamas because Hezbollah is far more calculated, far more organized, far more fortified by way of numbers than Hamas. Hamas is just a ragtag organization just trying to lob rockets into Israel. Hezbollah, on the other hand, they are highly sophisticated and have upwards of 250,000 rockets, which clearly violates the UN's resolution of, in terms of not having any rockets in the demilitarized zone near the Lebanese border. But they're uploading and constantly packing in their rockets near Israel's border, waiting for the signal from Iran. So Iran is the captain behind all of this, without question, because they would not have the sophistication of rockets that they do were it not for Iran. Rockets are getting far more sophisticated. Before, they were just Kazam rockets that can only go to Sderot. But now these rockets are getting greater range, and they have more of them. Where is this poor nation getting these resources from? That's the question one needs to ask oneself.
Absolutely. Now, of course, the hostilities have been in the south with Gaza, with Hamas. Why is it that you think, then, that Hezbollah is all but quiet up there in the north? Thankfully so. But that also is a group that's backed by Iran, and there's been no activity there, but all of it seems to be in the south around Gaza. What's your thoughts on that?
My thoughts on that are that to Iran, Hamas is the JV team of their operation. It is their operation. Iran fortifies Hamas. The varsity team is Hezbollah. So they're waiting for the little practice team to work on Israel and observing Israel's response. How quick is it going to be? What are they going to do to this? Because what Iran is preparing for is to trigger Hezbollah to do the varsity operation. So to coin a phrase from the previous administration, and I shudder to even do that, but it has application here, that Team Iran has two factions within it, two operations, two groups within it. Team Iran has Hamas, Team Iran has Hezbollah. The JV team is Hamas. They're fortified as well, but not like Hezbollah, who has over 250 rockets on Israel's border to the north. And when Israel has to engage Hezbollah, they cannot sustain 2,000 rockets a day. This was 400 rockets. Hezbollah is ready to launch 2,000 a day. Iron Dome won't be able to deal with all of that. So how are they going to knock them out? They're going to have to do sophisticated airstrikes, and it's going to be quick. It's going to be swift. It's going to be brutal. And when that happens, the world will be pointing at Israel and saying, you need to stop. How dare you do this? But this is why CUFI exists, so that we use every ounce of our social media outlets, our influence in D.C., to get the word out that Israel is not the aggressor here. They're trying to deal and annihilate an existential threat. These Jews in this day and time are different from those who sadly died during the Holocaust. These Jews have bombs. They have rockets. They have aircraft. They have a very sophisticated Israel Defense Force. They're not going in cattle cars anymore. They're not going to face utter annihilation again without defending themselves. They're serious this time, and we as CUFI, we stand behind them for their existence.
We're talking with Lyndon Allen, who is the Midwest Director of Christians United for Israel. CUFI.org is how you find their website if you want to learn more and actually join the team. And actually, we encourage you to do that, to actually sign up for the emails of CUFI. Again, that's Christians United for Israel. That's CUFI.org. We just got about a minute left before we enter into the close of our program. Lyndon, your thoughts?
Prayer. Psalm 122. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Do you realize the Palestinians call Jerusalem their capital? Friends, Jerusalem appears nowhere in the Quran. Nowhere. It's not their capital. And Palestine as a nation really never existed. It's the changed name of a geography by Emperor Hadrian back in 135 AD. This people group has never existed. There's never been a Palestinian coin, pottery shard. It's been Israel's land. The Jews are the indigenous people of the land, and we need to pray against the vile onslaught of propaganda. You know, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and spiritual wickedness in high places.
Amen.
And it's high time the church step into prayer for the peace of Jerusalem and the peace of Israel overall.
Thank you, Pastor. So appreciate you coming on the program today and sharing with us as we continue to support the state of Israel and to pray for God's people, the Jews. Thank you so much.
Chris, thank you so much. CUFI.org, CUFI.org for more information and joining CUFI.
Amen. Well, folks, I want you to take a listen as we're going to right now hear from Marty Goetz and his daughter, Misha. And this was a little video that they did. It's basically a song. And it's a worship, and it was done earlier this year. Take a listen. And as you listen, let's pray for the peace of Jerusalem.
Here's a chant we used to sing at Temple on the Heights in Cleveland. Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh Adonai Tzvahut Meluch. Hallelujah, hallelujah. On this Yom Kippur, we remember, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is filled with his glory. And Misha wrote a beautiful song based on this prayer, Kedusha.
Kadosh, 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 Adonai Tzevaot, Melech Kol Haaretz, Kvodo.
Kadosh, 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 Adonai Tzevaot,
Psalm 91, verse 1, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Pray for the peace of Israel, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and stay informed by logging on to CUFI. That's Christians United for Israel, that's CUFI.org, and we as Christians need to support the Jewish state. We do here at the Ohio Christian Alliance, and encourage you to do so as well. To learn more about our organization, log on to our website at ohioca.org. If you missed any of today's program, you can also listen to our podcast there as well at ohioca.org. Thanks for listening. God bless. We'll see you next week.
Looking out for seniors today. It's not the AARP. AARP worked overtime to help pass Obamacare, the legislation that cut over $700 billion from Medicare. And AARP supports the death tax, which can rob families of over half their savings due to the death of a loved one. Seniors know that AARP would rather make millions peddling insurance products than support the policies that actually help America's elderly. That's why America's seniors count on the 60 Plus Association. For more than 20 years, 60 Plus has been fighting for the seniors that AARP has left behind. 60 Plus Plus fought against Obamacare and continues to fight every day for its repeal in Washington. And 60 Plus is the leading national organization working to repeal the death tax once and for all so that families can pass down their businesses and farms to the next generation, not the IRS. Stand up for your values. Join 60 Plus today. Visit 60plus.org or call 703-807-2070. This message paid for and authorized by the 60 Plus Association.
I'm Johnette Cruz, and I'm a busy mom. Then a friend told me about TrustBlueReview.com, a new website powered by the Christian Blue Network. She uses it to find trusted Christian-owned businesses. I checked it out, read the helpful reviews, and found a great family dentist. Now I use TrustBlueReview for all my family's needs. For peace of mind, do what I did. Visit TrustBlueReview.com or download their free mobile app from your app store today.
The trusted source for all you do, TrustBlueReview.
Will my kids like this dentist? Can I trust this mechanic? Who's a good choice for my upcoming remodel? I found businesses I can trust from TrustBlueReview.com.
This company rebuilt our deck and renovated our bathroom. I'd highly recommend them to anyone looking to hire an honest contractor.
The best dentist experience I've ever had.
It's now easy to find trusted businesses in my community that have the same Christian values as my family. It all starts at TrustBlueReview.com or download their app in the App Store today.
The trusted source for all you do. Trust Blue Review.
And we're back, and we're going to continue our midterm election, basically follow-up to all that took place yesterday, as we saw that there was a lot of movement across the map nationwide when it comes to elections. Again, the Democrats do take control of the House of Representatives, and we will see that happen in January as the gavel will be passed off to one of the Democrats. We don't know who that might be, whether it's Nancy Pelosi or someone else. Obviously, they may have a fight on their hands as to who will be their next speaker. They do pick up 34 seats. They do take control of the Congress. There was 40 House Republican seats that were retired. Men and women who chose to go back home, basically, leaving those seats open. The Democrats took opportunity with it, and that's how they were able to take the House of Representatives. In the Senate, though, again, the Senate, United States Senate, the Republicans pick up 3 seats, but maybe more, with 2 still pending in Arizona and North Dakota. We'll have to see how that plays out. And, of course, this weekend, we will be observing Veterans Day on Sunday, and it is the centennial observance of the close of World War I, and we'll talk more about that at the end of the program. With me on the phone is our good friend from Ohio's 6th Congressional District, Ohio's own Congressman Bill Johnson from Marietta, Ohio. Congressman, welcome to the program.
Chris, it's good to be with you, as always.
Well, and again, congratulations to you for your reelection last night. You'll be going back to Washington to represent the people, the fine people of the 6th Congressional District. Your thoughts?
Well, I tell you, Chris, I don't take that for granted, and I certainly take that responsibility very seriously. I'm just really humbled that the people of Eastern and Southeastern Ohio have expressed their confidence in me and have again selected me to be their voice in Washington. And I'm going to continue to work hard on their behalf on a host of issues that are important to them. So I appreciate that. It was a good day for Ohio, as I heard you mention earlier. Not necessarily so good all across the nation and for control of the House. But we had a good day in Ohio for the most part.
We did. And, of course, on Monday you were with us in Cleveland at the IX Center as President Trump again returned to Cleveland. It was where he was received the nomination for the RNC as the candidate in 2016 in the Cleveland Republican National Convention. He came back to Cleveland to the IX Center to a rousing crowd of nearly 10,000 people were there on Monday. And, you know, when I look over that crowd, Representative, and you've got to think, it's like, boy, those seems like the folks in my district. I mean, these are just everyday folks who work hard, who get up every day. They work, they pay the bills. These are real Ohioans here, and that's what the president, he has seized upon that. That's who his supporter is. Those his supporters are, and I'm so encouraged by that. Your thoughts?
Well, I agree with you. He has given a voice to those who have felt ignored, both in Columbus and in Washington for years. And, you know, I expressed my concerns about that to our new governor-elect, Mike DeWine and John Husted, back when they were first getting their campaigns going, and asked me for my endorsement. And I shared with them, the people in this district often think they've been forgotten.
Yes.
And if you want to win this district, then you've got to spend some time over here, not just before the election, but after the election. The people here want to know that you care about the concerns that they have. And I was pleased that Mike DeWine did so well over here in this this part of the state, because he did come here. And I think we're going to see him come back more. I'm optimistic about that.
You know, I am too.
It was a good day.
Absolutely. And I want to say something about Mike DeWine. You know, I've gotten a chance to know Mike over the last 12 years. Actually, it was kind of a God thing, because when he was really waning in the U.S. Senate, when he was serving in the U.S. Senate, he had gone a little moderate. Even his good friend Rick Santorum says that. He said, yeah, he went a little goofy on us there. Ohioans marked that, who supported him, and then they didn't re-elect him that year. But it was that year that I actually became in acquaintance with Mike when he was in his final year. And, you know, when that defeat happened, he became, you know, some one staffer said he was really humbled after that. He really changed, and changed for the good. All the people I talked to when Mike was attorney general, they talk about how approachable he is. I mean, you call him, he returns your call. I mean, you know, obviously he's governor now. I don't know. He was doing that as AG, though. I mean, he's really getting out there and meet with folks. He came to all our events whenever we were able to schedule him, stayed after, spent time with people, never in a hurry. And you hear that all around the state. And I think he will keep that promise. You know, one of the things that really stood out to me on Monday, Congressman, is they had signs, promises made, promises kept. Donald Trump has set a new high bar. Here's a guy who came in, he promised things, and he's delivered in a very short amount of time in the first 2 years of his presidency. The checklist of the things that the president has accomplished, even without, you'd have to say, at times, the help of Congress. Not your willingness, of course, but some other people in Congress weren't willing to back the president on certain things and kind of slow walk things in the House, frustrating people, of course. But he was able to get quite a bit accomplished. You know, I think Mike's going to try to do the same thing. And the president has kind of set that example for the new executives, not just presidents, but governors. When they come in, if you make pledges, you make promises, you know, follow through and get to work for the people. Your thoughts?
I think you're right. I mean, you've heard this list before, Chris. If you look at the 8 years under Barack Obama, and Nancy Pelosi, and between Harry Reid and Chuck Schumer, look at what we got. We got stagnant economic growth, somewhere between 1.5 to 1.9%. It just hovered right there. Unemployment that hovered between 6% and 9% for the 8 years that I served while he was there. We got the Iran nuclear deal. We got illegal immigrants coming across our border like crazy.
Home ownership was down. Home ownership was down.
Home ownership was down. Taxes were up. We got Obamacare. We got Benghazi. We got the expansion of the terrorist group ISIS across the Middle East. We got the Russians having invaded the Crimea, and we got bad trade deals that put the American people at risk. Look at the contrast in just 21 months, what President Trump has delivered for the American people. Economic growth at 4.2%, the lowest unemployment rate that we've had since 1969. The war on coal is over, and coal production and coal exports are up. We got out of the Iranian nuclear deal. We canceled ourselves out of the Paris Climate Accord.
Yes.
That's right. And we got tax reform that has enabled Americans to keep more of their hard-earned money. We got two Supreme Court justices that are conservative, constitutionally based rule of law judges, and numerous other conservative federal judges. And we got a new NAFTA agreement, and we're on our way toward resetting the clock with some of the other bad trade deals that we had. So, I mean, it is hard to imagine a president that has delivered more quickly on their promises than Donald Trump. And I am convinced that Mike DeWine, working with President Trump, is going to have a similar record. I'm certainly going to work with him to try and make sure he does.
Well, that's just it. Now, as you've been serving in Congress, when you came in 2011, and I was there when you were sworn in and John Boehner came in as the new speaker at that time, as the Republicans took back Congress, and Nancy Pelosi, you were there when she handed the gavel to John Boehner, our fellow Ohioan at the time. And then, of course, Republicans have held it since then. Now the Republicans will be handing back the gavel to Nancy Pelosi. It's going to be a different role now as you'll be in the minority. How is that going to look for you, Congressman? Obviously, now I want to do two parts. Before we get to where, because they don't get it yet. They don't get it till January, right? January 20, something like that.
That's the Senate. We are sworn in. That's the governors that are sworn in late in January. We'll be sworn in that first week of January.
Okay, so there's still some time left on the clock for the Republicans to get some things done. Let's get to that in a minute. But how do you look at the new Congress working with the Democrats? Obviously, things are going to change for you, and your chairmanship, your positions on committees will be a different role. You'll go from the majority to a minority. Tell us a little bit about that, how that's going to look.
Well, you know, I'll confess to you, I'm a little bit anxious about that, Chris, because I've never served in the minority. Unlike many of our members, some of our members, not many, because the majority of our conference has come in since 2010. So there's actually a small majority of Republicans in the House today that have served in the minority. So you can better believe it's going to be a different dynamic. But here's what I know, Chris. I know that if you do this job for the right reason, if you've got the best interest of the American people at heart, and if you do not compromise your principles and your values, you can find common ground to get things done. In spite of the vitriol rhetoric that you hear about on national television, and you have to overlook a lot of that stuff, but I can tell you, you know, you might remember I had seven pieces of legislation signed into law by Barack Obama. There weren't even many Democrats that could attest to that kind of record. So I've demonstrated that rolling up your sleeves and sitting across the table, you can find common ground on important issues. That's the way I'm going to go about my job. But I'm not going to compromise my values and my principles. I still believe that we should not be aborting babies. I believe that having taxpayer funding for abortion is wrong. I believe in strong border security. I believe in strong national security. I believe we should keep our promises to our seniors with Medicare and Social Security. But I believe that all Americans that are able-bodied should be helping to pull this great wagon called the United States of America rather than simply riding in it. And so we'll be advancing some of those policies as well. And we're not going to pull back on President Trump's agenda just because the Democrats now control the House. We're going to continue to try to advance that agenda, continue the economic growth, continue dropping unemployment, continue securing our borders and strengthening our military and putting America first. And hopefully we're going to be able to get our Democrat colleagues to see the value in doing that.
We're talking with Congressman Bill Johnson of Ohio's 6th District. He is a Republican that was just reelected from Marietta, Ohio. He'll be going back to the House of Representatives. The Republicans will be in control until December 31st. Congressman, what do you anticipate what Speaker Ryan and leadership might try to get done between now and the close of Congress now that the election is over?
You bet. You know, we tried to do some immigration reform several months ago before we broke to wrap up the election. I think we'll probably come back to some of those kinds of things. Now, keep in mind, we have not yet met as a conference to prioritize those things. There's only so many legislative days available between now and the time the new Congress is sworn in. So we got to be very strategic about which ones we go after first. But we've got a farm bill out there that needs to get done. We've got a host of things that we could target, and I'm looking forward to getting back next week and having a discussion about prioritizing those things before we get sworn in the new Congress in January.
What do you anticipate as far as, is there going to be a leadership battle in the Democratic side? Do you think it's a given that Nancy Pelosi gets the gavel? Or could it be Waters or someone else?
I don't think there's a chance that Maxine Waters becomes Speaker of the House. That's just not going to happen. Whether or not Nancy Pelosi becomes Speaker or not, I think that is the big question. We heard numerous Democrat candidates distance themselves from Nancy Pelosi.
They did.
And say they would not support her for Speaker.
That's right.
But some of those candidates, when pressed, said, well, wait a minute now. You know, there's two votes for the Speaker. One of them is in your conference when you recommend or you select your nominee. The real vote occurs on the House floor. So are you telling me that you're going to vote for someone other than Nancy Pelosi, maybe a Republican or some other Democrat, rather than voting for Nancy Pelosi on the House floor? Some of those candidates very quickly were called out and they backtracked and they said they would vote for. If I was a betting man, if I were guessing, I'm sort of thinking that Nancy Pelosi will probably hold the Speaker's gavel, even if only initially. But I think even she recognizes that her party is heading in a different direction. They're looking for new blood. They're looking for younger blood, new ideas. Some of the members that are coming out on the Democrat side, Chris, they're very socialistic in their ideology. And, open borders, Medicare for all, more government, higher taxes. We'll see what happens. But I think you'll probably see Nancy Pelosi as Speaker for some period of time, if not the whole 2 years.
Talking with Congressman Bill Johnson of Ohio's 6th District. He was just reelected. He'll be heading back to Congress. There wasn't any shakeup as far as Ohio's delegation. It remains the same numbers of Democrats and Republicans heading back to Congress. The only switch out pretty much was Troy Boulderson taking Pat Tiberi's seat that he retired earlier in the year. And, of course, Jim Renacci running for the U.S. Senate. Then, of course, will be retired. But Anthony Gonzalez, another young Republican coming to the House that will be working with the caucus. Your thoughts on that one, Congressman?
I'm looking forward to joining the rest of our seasoned Republican delegation and mentoring both Troy Boulderson and Anthony Gonzalez. Both of those new members are very coachable. They both want to do a great job. I will say they both stand on their own principles and their own values. They're not going to be pushed around, I can tell you that much. Not that we would do that, but to the extent that we can help them be successful for their constituents in Ohio, we definitely want to do that. And I think standing together as the Ohio delegation, Ohio will maintain its position of strength within the Republican conference and within the House of Representatives. And I look forward to working with all of our colleagues to advance our our policy issues in the important areas.
Very good. Congressman, thank you so much for joining us today, and God bless you, sir. Our prayers are with you.
Absolutely. God bless you, Chris. Thanks for everything, and thanks for being out there last Monday.
Absolutely. We'll take a quick break. Amen. We'll be right back with some closing thoughts.
I'm Johnette Cruz, and I'm a busy mom. Then a friend told me about TrustBlueReview.com, a new website powered by the Christian Blue Network. She uses it to find trusted Christian-owned businesses. I checked it out, read the helpful reviews, and found a great family dentist. Now I use TrustBlueReview for all my family's needs. For peace of mind, do what I did. Visit TrustBlueReview.com or download their free mobile app from your app store today.
The trusted source for all you do, TrustBlueReview.
Will my kids like this dentist? Can I trust this mechanic? Who's a good choice for my upcoming remodel? I found businesses I can trust from TrustBlueReview.com.
This company rebuilt our deck and renovated our bathroom. I'd highly recommend them to anyone looking to hire an honest contractor.
The best dentist experience I've ever had.
It's now easy to find trusted businesses in my community that have the same Christian values as my family. It all starts at TrustBlueReview.com or download their app in the App Store today.
The trusted source for all you do. Trust Blue Review.
Who's looking out for seniors today? It's not the AARP. AARP worked overtime to help pass Obamacare, the legislation that cut over $700 billion from Medicare. And AARP supports the death tax, which can rob families of over half their savings due to the death of a loved one. Seniors know that AARP would rather make millions peddling insurance products than support the policies that actually help America's elderly. That's why America's seniors count on the 60 Plus Association. For more than 20 years, 60 Plus has been fighting for the seniors that AARP has left behind. 60 Plus fought against Obamacare and continues to fight every day for its repeal in Washington. And 60 Plus is the leading national organization working to repeal the death tax once and for all so that families can pass down their businesses and farms to the next generation, not the IRS. Stand up for your values. Join 60 Plus today. Visit 60plus.org or call 703-807-2070. This message paid for and authorized by the 60 Plus Association.
This Sunday is Veterans Day, and it is the centennial observance of the close of World War I. It's when we began to observe Veterans Day, the 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month in 1918 was the close of World War I. You know, World War I, of course, had many casualties, and the Battle of the Somme, for instance, between the Germans, the British, and the French, had 420,000 British casualties, 200,000 French casualties. This is just one battle during the war. The Germans had 500,000 casualties at the Battle of Somme. The bloody war lasted for 4 years. 5.7 million Allied military were killed during the war. 4 million among the Central Powers. 10 million civilians were killed in World War I. This Sunday marks the centennial of the close of World War I. And there was a poem that was made about the battlefields after the battles and the dead were buried. And it is called Flanders Fields. And we're going to close with that.
In Flanders fields the poppies blow, between the crosses row on row, that mark our place. And in the sky the larks still bravely singing fly, scarce heard amid the guns below. We are the dead. Short days ago we lived, felt dawn, saw sunset glow, loved and were loved. And now we lie in Flanders fields. Take up our quarrel with the foe. To you from failing hands we throw the torch. Be yours to hold it high. If ye break faith with us who die, we shall not sleep, though poppies grow in Flanders fields. They shall grow not old, as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun, and in the morning, we will remember them.
You have been listening to News in Focus with your host, Chris Long, President of the Ohio Christian Alliance. To learn more about the issues that matter most to you and your family, visit online at ohioca.org. That's ohioca.org. Thank you for listening. This program is sponsored by the Ohio Christian Alliance of Akron, Ohio.